This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're now entering the month, we're into the month of Adar, and I want to discuss the concept of Simcha. Mishenichas Adar, Marvin the Simcha, Gemara and Tanis, Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, you've got a sheet, it's all on the handout in front of you. Please email me if you're listening online, j.golker@gmail.com, I'll send you the sheet. But it's a very interesting topic, the pursuit of happiness, and it's a good opportunity to discuss it. We know that Simcha is absolutely primary in Jewish thought, in Jewish life. The Pasuk in Tehillim, we say every day, Yivdu es Hashem b'simcha boyu lefonov birnono. To serve Hashem b'simcha. I mentioned last week, I'm reading a sefer of Shlomo Gissinger, an amazing book about this fabulous Talmud Chacham Baal Chesed from Lakewood. And when people would come to him, the bracha he would always give, he said to children and to whoever, you should be zochet to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. What a beautiful bracha. The Pasuk says in the end of the Teichach, one of the most chilling psukim, at the end of the Teichach in Parshas Kisavo, when we have a litany of all the punishments that can and unfortunately have befallen Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk says, why did this come about? Tachas asher levadeto es Hashem lekecho b'simcha v'tuv leivov m'loiv kol. Because we didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. We know it's a primary focus in Yiddishkeit. More than that, there's a famous Gemara which is often quoted around this time of year. The Gemara in Tanis, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Now, I'll read you the Gemara, but for me, the most telling line, the most telling word in the whole story is not from the Lashon of the Gemara, but is a word in Rashi. I'll tell you what I mean. The Gemara says, Rav Breika Chizor HaVashkiach B'Shukuk Be'Lefet. Rav Breika was once in the marketplace of Be'Lefet, HaVashkiach Elio Gabe, and he met Elio Anovi. Omalei Ikaba HaShuk Bar Amud Osi. Is there anyone in this Shuk who's a Bar Olam Haba, who's worthy of going to the world to come? So Elio Hanavi looked around. Omalei, look, no, I can't see anybody who's worthy of going to Olam Haba. Adahochi Vahochi, meanwhile, Osu Hanach Trey, two people suddenly came into the marketplace. Omalei, so Elio Hanavi said to Rav Breika, oh, Hanach Nami Bnei Amud Osi. These two, they're Bnei Olam Haba. They're going to go to Olam Haba. Imagine you go to Brent Cross and you see Elio Hanavi there. And you say, tell me, Elio Hanavi, is there anyone in the whole shopping center who's worthy to go to Olam Haba? He looks around. No. Two people suddenly walk in. Oh, these two. So what would you do? Rabbi Baroka runs over to them. Ozer Lagabai, Omelahu, Mayuvdaichu, who are you? Tell me about yourselves. What do you do? Omrulei, Inchi Baduchi Anon Mabduchinanatsivi. We are jokers, jesters, and we make other people, sad people, happy. Says Rashi. Baduchi, what are jokers, jesters, what are they? Smeichim u'masamchim bnei odo. Rashi could have just said, masamchim bnei odo, and they make people happy. Says Rashi, interestingly, smeichim, they're happy people. In contrast to contemporary comedians, and generally comedians in sort of in the Western world, many of whom in their personal lives are very sad, depressed people. But yet, says Rashi, baduchi asmeichim, they themselves are happy, and therefore masamchim bnei odo. So we see that smechim, to be besimcha, is a very, very important ideal in Yiddishkeit. So let's spend a bit of time just exploring, firstly, what it is, and more importantly, what it isn't. You see, it seems to be the elusive goal of mankind from time immemorial, the pursuit of happiness. Even the founding fathers, in the Declaration of Independence, they set it out, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The trouble is, it's a pursuit. You always seem to be chasing it, but few people seem to reach it. It's a bit like the mechanical rabbit, when the greyhound goes round and they're released from their pens and they suddenly start chasing and running. There's the mechanical rabbit, but no one actually catches the rabbit. It's this elusive goal. They tell the story, I heard this from Rabbi Lef. Rabbi Lef tells a story that one time that an employee at work was always jealous of his boss's stretch limousine. And he decided he's going to save up and buy this stretch limousine. And that's what he did. He saved up for many years until he accumulated enough money and he bought a stretch limo. And he was so excited. The day came, he drives around town, he decides he's going to tell his boss. Where's he going to find his boss? The boss is, of course, in his stretch limo. He spends most of his time there. And sure enough, he drives around town to find his boss to tell him about it, excitedly about his new stretch limo. And he sees the boss pulled up on the side somewhere. So he parks over and he runs out to the boss's stretch limo, knocks on the window, and he screams, boss, boss. The boss winds down the window. And he says, what's up? He says, I've got a stretch limb. I want you to come and see it. So the boss gets out of his car. He goes over to his employee's stretch limb. He opens it up, looks inside. He says, yeah, but where's your 42-inch plasma screen? Where's your inside bar? And where's your pool table? Take a look at my one. I've got all these three things. 42-inch screen, an inside bar, a pool table. You can never. This poor employee walks away dejected. He saved up for years to buy this and hasn't quite done it. So he decides he's going to save up more to get these extra fittings in his stretch limo. So he saves up, and then eventually he gets enough money. He fits his stretch limo with a plasma screen and with the indoor bar and with the pool table. And again, he gets in the car excitedly, running around, driving around, trying to find the boss to show him. And eventually finds the boss again, pulled up somewhere. So he parks, he gets out of his car, and knocks on the window, boss, boss. No answer. Knocks on the window again, boss, boss. Eventually, several minutes later, the window winds down, and the boss with a towel draped over his head opens the window, and the guy says, boss, boss, I've got it. I've got a 42-inch plasma screen, I've got an indoor bar, and I've got a pool table. And the boss looks at him and says, and for that, you got me out of the shower? You see, there's always something else. There's always something else. And it's this elusive goal. It's chasing the mechanical rabbit. So let's discuss what simcha is and what simcha isn't. The Medrash, as ever, puts it so pithily. The Medrash says, I've got it on the sheet there, in Koheles Rabbah. A person doesn't leave this world and having fulfilled even half of his desires. If he has 100, he wants 200. If he has 200, he wants 400. That's the life. There's always something else. A week or two ago, Rabbi Abraham Twersky was Nifta, one of the tremendous personalities in Jewish life and world in the last, in recent times. He's got a well-known talk online about the attainment of happiness. It's worth listening to it. So Google it and you'll find it. And he says something very interesting. He says the following, he starts with a story. He says that one time there was a little boy who was crawling around on the floor, clearly looking for something. So a man goes over to him and says, young man, what are you looking for? So he says, I've lost a dollar. So he says, let me help you find it. Where did you lose it? So the boy says, I lost it over there. So the man says, so why are you looking over here? So the boy said, because there's more light over here. It's too dark over there. See, the trouble is when we're looking for happiness, we look where there's light, but we don't look where we actually lost it. So it needs thought as to what happiness is and what it isn't. But Twersky notes, he's reflecting on his life. He was born 90 years ago. Imagine we go back 100 years. We go back to the 1920s. And you take a man, we just think of what life was like in the 1920s. First of all, life expectancy was short. In America in the 1920s, 1930s, life expectancy was 50 years old, 51 years old. There was infectious diseases. Every American city had a sanitarium for tuberculosis. That Twersky says when he had a backache as a kid, his parents were scared that it was polio, that he had succumbed to this terrible disease. Infant mortality rates were very, very high. That living conditions were very difficult. The work conditions were also very difficult. The travel, I mean, if you think about the travel, even I know my father's used to tell us that when his older sister got married in Eretz Yisrael, this is in 1949, she was the first person to get married in Kibbutz Lavi. She wore Wellington boots under her wedding dress. And her parents, it was my grandparents, they came out from London to Eretz Yisrael. It took weeks. And now it's a different world. The conditions, imagine in those days, if it was boiling hot as it often was, you sweated. You had a fridge and freezer. You had an ice box. People remember it. You had came along with a big block of ice, and that was your fridge. That's where you kept things cold. Cooking was a chore which took many hours. And laundry, that was a process again. It was an all-consuming process. Now imagine you take someone from the 1920s and you sort of transplant them into the world today. And you describe to them what life is like today in contrast to what I just described. You tell them that life expectancy is 80 plus years. You tell them that tuberculosis and polio, Baruch Hashem, have pretty much been eliminated. There's not a single sanitarium, I don't think, anymore in America. Infant mortality, Baruch Hashem, is so rare. Living conditions, you know, if it's too hot, you flick a switch and you make it a little bit cooler. If it's too cold, you make it warmer. It's a different world. Travel, I've done it before. I can daven early shacharis here in London, and I can daven mincha at Ben Gurion Airport and daven maariv at the Kotel. It's a different world. Cooking, you know, I once heard a Mordechai Miller joke. He says you can make Shabbos every 6 weeks if you've got a big enough freezer. And laundry, it's a different world, a different world. And yet, are we happier? On the contrary, Rabbi Twersky says that in his experience of 50 years of treating people with alcoholism and other issues, he says that unhappiness is certainly very much alive and well today. And no doubt has increased since all those years. So science hasn't proved the answer. And the reason is because science can help our lives become easier, and science can help attain contentment, and perhaps there's aspects of pleasure. But happiness is not pleasure, and happiness is not contentment. And let's explain what perhaps happiness is, and we'll see what happiness isn't as well. Three things I want to focus on. Giving, appreciation, and spiritual pursuits. Let's take a look. Giving. There is a wise saying, and it's not a chazal, I don't know where I had it. But when a child is born, a child emerges all sort of scrunched up and its fists are clenched. After 120 years, one of the things the Chevra Kadisha do to the body is they take the hands and they roll out the palm and they lay it flat. And the symbolism is very striking, that life ultimately is a journey of that to that. A journey of transforming this oneself from being very self-centered and fists clenched to more giving, to focusing on others. Indeed, the Rambam, and indeed everything about life is that. The more opportunity you have to give, the more ways you have of making that life journey. And if you think about it, marriage, children, and so many of life opportunities are a means to try and make that transformation of that to that. The Lubavitcher Rebbe once received a letter. I've got it on the sheet here. Listen to the letter. I would like the Rebbe's help. I wake up each day sad and apprehensive. I can't concentrate. I find it hard to pray. I keep the commandments, but I find no spiritual satisfaction. I go to the synagogue, but I feel alone. I begin to wonder, what is life about? I need help. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, in his tremendous wisdom, didn't reply. He merely took the letter and he circled the first word of every sentence and sent it back to the person. I would like the Rebbe's help. I wake up each day sad and apprehensive. I can't concentrate. I find it hard to pray. I keep the commandments, but I find no spirit. I go to the synagogue. I begin. I generation. It's totally focused on himself. The Rebbe was hinting to him that if you want to overcome that unhappiness, that aloneness, then a person should focus on other people. The Rambam, interestingly, in Hilchas Megillah, says exactly this. We've got Purim next week. So you've got Purim Suda, you've got Matonis Levyonim, you've got Shlachmonis. Says the Rambam, it's better to be marbe, to increase your matonis levyonim, more than having a big suda, more than giving fancy shlachmonis. She'in simcha gedolim mufuara el samech levanim. Because there's no greater simcha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu than you helping and being mesamech other people. Sham is samech, etc., etc. Doim el eshchim, you're acting in a godlike way. So giving is not just the goal of life, to make the transformation from that to that, but it makes a person happier. It makes him live a life with more meaning, with more productivity. That is one answer. And we see it, you know, you see it in my own children, we see it with school, that you get the kids to volunteer, you get the kids to be involved in projects. That makes them happy. It's amazing. That's number one. Number two is appreciation. What do I mean by that? The word simcha is a contraction of the word of som moyach. Som moach means to pay attention, to literally to place your mind, to focus on things. mindfulness. I mentioned last week that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu when he goes up to Har Sinai, he says, V'tiyeshom, V'yeshom, be there. But this is a memental occasion, a momentous occasion. The Kotzker Rebbe notes that V'yeshom, what do you mean? You know, you're coming up to Har Sinai and be there. You are there. If you're aware, if you're living in the moment, you're aware of the situation, it makes life more enjoyable. To appreciate things is really very important. And really think about it. Chazal, we're tuned into that. Every morning we say brachas. Every morning when we say brachas, we say it's focusing on us, on all the brachas, all the kindness and the opportunities and the chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. We say Baruchat Hashem L'Kemech Elam Pekeach Ivri. So it's worth closing our eyes for a moment and just imagining what life would be like if Rahman and Islam we couldn't see. Ma'al b'sharumim, Baruch Hashem, I have clothes to wear. That Mechim Mitzadigav, Osali Kotzaki. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're just focusing on all the good we have. And that's true for any brachas. Shehakol Yabidvara, we thank, it's just focusing us on the pleasure and the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. You know, the proverbial case when you knock your nail, you knock the nail in the wall and you bang your thumb. Only then do you appreciate what a thumb is. The more you appreciate in life, the happier your life will be. And indeed, the Rabbi Sacks, amazingly, he says this very idea. He says an interesting thing he's got a book called Celebrating Life. He says in the introduction, he says there's his mother always said to him, can you write me a book which I can understand? So he's got one book, short essays. Very short, beautiful, easy essays. And I think in the first essay, he describes an experience he has. He was on honeymoon. He goes to Italy with his wife. He's not a swimmer. But the sea seems to go out far, and you can walk out quite far, and people are, it doesn't seem to be very deep. So he goes out into the beach, into the sea, and he must have missed a dip on the way out. When he comes back in, he goes under, and he can't swim, and he feels that it's all over. And he says he recalls the panic, and he remembers what's going through his mind. And somehow this Italian fellow comes along, saves his life, picks him up, deposits him by his wife, and walks off. And somewhere out there, there's someone who saved Rabbi Sacks' life. And this is what he writes. He says, it changed my life. For years afterwards, I would wake in the morning, conscious of the fact, but for a miracle, I would not be here. Somehow that made everything easier to bear. Our life has had difficult times. It has had moments of crisis. Public life is full of stress. And not everyone who lives it has a thick skin. People often ask me, how do you bear it? The answer is simple. That day on an Italian beach, I learned that life, which I so nearly lost, had been given back to me. It is difficult to feel depressed when you remember fairly constantly that life is a gift. What a beautiful idea. Let's move on to the third idea. The third idea is something which Rabbi Twersky makes mention of in this talk. Think about it. The Sheishas Yimei Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates from day one through to day six, everything. Rivers, oceans, animals. And then on day six, when he makes man, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Na'aseh Odom, let us make man. Who is us? Till now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been fine to do it by himself. He didn't ask for any help when it came to making the rivers and the oceans and the giraffes and the alligators. So what does Na'aseh Odom mean? So the Gemara explains that, sorry, it's the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov explains that Na'aseh Odom means that we become a shutuf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We become a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation process that we have to create ourselves. That we become a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have to create us. And that is what is distinct about a human being, different to animals and different to angels. HaKadosh Baruch Hu on day six of Sheishas Yimei Bereishis, on day six of creation, did not want to create more angels, and he did not want to create more animals. He wanted to create a human being. But a human being, in distinction to all other aspects, is something which has born with potential. It's a work in progress. An animal, behema is bo ma, which basically means you see what you get. That's it. Bo ma. That's it. So the little elephant can become the bigger elephant, but that's just its growth. It doesn't become a bigger, better person. A human being, if you think about it, on birth, is a very selfish entity. Yeah, b'li ayin hara, my little grandson, he should live and be well. But when he wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning and wakes up his parents because he's thirsty, because he's hungry, because he wants a nappy change, if you think about it, that's quite a selfish thing to do. But please God, in the fullness of time, he'll make the transition to understand that life is that journey, as I mentioned. And that's really what a human being is. Na'aseh Adam. Now, how does one become oneself? By making good choices, by making moral choices, like what we say in the morning, Ki ma'aseh Adam min ha'behema ayin. What makes man different to an animal? Ki ma'aseh Adam min ha'behema, the difference between an animal and a human being is ayin, the ability to say no. And this is the point. You see, in the Western world and life out there, people assume they mix up happiness with pleasure. But pleasure is not the answer. And there's nothing wrong with pleasure. I enjoy a geschmacka cup of coffee like the rest of us. I enjoy maybe the chocolate syrup on my vanilla ice cream. But if that becomes a life goal, then we're in trouble. The life goal is to become a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Na'aseh Adam, to develop each and every one of us into who we can become. And that's a life's process. And that's really what the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos seems to say, this is just a transient world to get to the real world. And then the Mishnah in Perek Dalet Yud Zayin says, seems to set up a contradiction. One hour in this world is worth all much more, mikol chayei ha'olam haba, more than all the world to come. And yet, one hour of the world to come is worth more than all of this world. So which one is it? Is this world better or is the next world better? It seems to be a contradiction in the same Mishnah. The answer, of course, is this, that of course olam haba is better. The Mishnah says, kiras ruach means even a sniff, a smell. You know what that means? You go past the kiddush. You're hungry. You're starving, hungry, and they open the doors to the kiddush, and suddenly you see the waft of the beautiful smell of all the food comes out, delicious. You haven't even got inside, and it smells good. The kiras ruach v'olam haba. They open the doors. You smell the Gan Eden. That smell is yafe, is greater and more pleasurable than the entire pleasure of this world. But 1 hour in this world is more pleasurable. How so? In as much as it affords opportunity. A person realizes that 1 hour in this world, I can come back, I can do so much. You know, the famous scene of the dream in Fiddler on the Roof, where all the people in the middle of the dream, they come up, they sort of emerge from the Beis HaKvaros. They have 1 hour, they suddenly, you know, appear. So I think Reb Leib Chassman used to say, imagine people emerge from the Beis HaKvaros and they have 1 hour. And 1 hour, imagine what people would do. They would run, they'd go to Beis HaMedrash, they'd learn, they'd say Tehillim, they'd do Chesed, Daven, give start, they do whatever they can. They appreciate what 1 hour in this world is. A person who appreciates what this world is enjoys it so much more. Like I mentioned, I think last week, that the famous anecdote, a person comes along and he sees three workmen working, chiseling stone. He says to the first one, what are you doing? He says, I'm chiseling stone. Go to the second one, what are you doing? I'm earning a living. You say to the third one, what are you doing? I'm building a palace. They're all doing the same thing, but a person who has a vision that what I'm doing is worthwhile, is ultimately earning me eternity, then that makes the journey much more pleasurable itself. And that's the point. Na'aseh Adam, by working hard, by making the correct moral choices, which come to us, you know, a dozen times a day, more, a dozen times a moment. These making the right choices ultimately is what gives us pleasure and gives us happiness. Rabbi Twersky adds, he says a lovely anecdote. But one time he was in the doctor's office, the doctor's surgery, and he's there sitting in the waiting room. Normally he has his computer with him. That's where he did all his writing, in the airports and doctor surgery waiting rooms. But he forgot it at home. He didn't bring it. He opens a magazine and he sees there's an article. The article is how do lobsters grow? Strange, interesting. You know, you can live your whole life and not even think about that. What's the issue? You see, lobsters have a hard shell with a soft underpart. And when the lobster grows, the shell is static, it's immovable. So how does it work? So when the lobster is very small, when it feels that tension, it's growing, and the shell is going to have to, is going to be, it's too small. It climbs under a rock to protect itself from predators, discards its shell, and then it grows a new shell. And that process continues every time it goes out again, and then a few weeks, months, whatever it is later, again, it gets bigger and bigger. There's pressure against the shell, it goes under a rock to protect itself, discards its shell, and it grows more. That's nature, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us that when sometimes you get to a point where you need to, you're feeling a bit of pressure, that's an opportunity to grow. So happiness, from a Jewish perspective, is not to be confused with pleasure and with contentment. An animal is content. An animal can graze on the grass, never wonders about why I'm here, what we're doing here, what our tachlis is, and life is contentment. Pleasurable, that's not the goal of life. It's fine, it's kosher, it's okay, so long as you're in control of it and not in control of you. But the real simcha is achieved through different means, either through a life of giving, becoming, making that transformation of that to that, of appreciating all the chesed, all the wonders of this world, the brachas that we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all. And third of all, to live a spiritual life. And I'll finish with one idea, an amazing idea. The Pasuk says, you know, we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva chadei shomeinu kekedem. Please Hashem, bring us back to the good old days. What are these good old days? Which point in Jewish history are we asking to go back to? The answer is, we're asking to go back to the times of Shlomo HaMelech, the time of Bais Rishon. That was like the high point of Jewish history, as close as we probably ever got to sort of messianic times. Shlomo HaMelech builds the first Beis HaMikdash. There's a tremendous celebration for 2 weeks. He sends the people home, and the Pasuk says in Melachim, in Perek Galef, in Melachim Aleph, Perek Ches, at the end there, B'yom HaShmini Sholach Eshilach Es Ha'om, he sends the people away. V'yivorchu Es HaMelech, the king blesses the people. V'yechu La'alem, they go back to their tents. Smeichin V'toyvei Leiv, happy and in good spirit, says the Yalkut. What does it mean, Smeichim? She'ne'enu M'ziv HaShchina. They enjoyed the Ziv HaShchina, the splendor of the divine presence. There was a spiritual experience. Asks Rav Rudeman, Bnei Yisrael Baltimore, he says, how do Chazal know this? Maybe they went home happy because they had a good time. You know, only regal, you're with your family, with friends, you were eating shawarma. That's what Karbonus was. So who says that they went home in good spirit because they had a spiritual experience, Shenenu Meziv HaShchina? Maybe they just had a good time. Says Rav Rudman, an amazing insight. You know, in those days, to get home, getting home wasn't just getting in your car and driving home. It was getting on your donkey, getting on your pekelech and your family together, and walking home with your bubba and great auntie Golda. And getting home could be going up north or going down south, and it could take a week or 2 weeks to get home. If you were still besimcha 2 weeks la'acha hamaisa, 2 weeks after the event, then it has to be because of a spiritual reason. Because that's the only thing that lasts. That's the only thing that endures. You're not happy 2 weeks after you had a shawarma. It has to be because of a spiritual catalyst. So there we have it. Mishenichnas Av, Ma'abin B'Simcha. The importance of being happy from a Jewish perspective is critical. And Mishenichnas Adam Ma'abin B'Simcha. You're right, I'm sorry. Mishenichnas Adam Ma'abin B'Simcha. I'm ready out the layada. And the Mishnah says in Tanis is Kashem Shishanichnas Av Namatim Simcha Kach, Mishanichnas Adam Abim Besimcha. But it's a focus, something to work on. And it's an important thing to work on. But we shouldn't be mistaken by equating pleasure and happiness. Pleasure is good, but that's not a goal. And scientific development is very convenient, it makes our lives very convenient, but it's not the solution. The person living in the 1920s would think we're in Gan Eden, but we're clearly not. And therefore, how do we achieve it? Lots of ways. But the three that I focus on this evening are number one, focusing on giving, number two, appreciation, number three, spiritual pursuits, because that's what endures and that makes us different to animals. And then we become a shutuf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, na'ase odom, and in creating human beings, creating ourselves what we can become. I wish you all a lovely Shabbos, and Mr. Hashem, I'll see you next week.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.